take the minutes. I'm going to now call the meeting to order. And before we get to public comment, I would ask for everyone who is participating in this phone call, whether for part of the meeting or the entire meeting, would please identify themselves for Cindy and for the records. And we can start with you, Chuck, and then we'll go from there.
Chuck Gunderson, I'm here.
Steve Chamberlain, Select Board.
Yep.
John Peters, Select Board.
Scott Woodward, Select Board.
Emily Group, Select Board.
Patrick Fultz.
Iris Benoit, Tree Warden.
Jim Potter, Road Foreman.
Benjamin Brickner, resident.
Patrick Fultz, resident.
Richard Martin, resident.
Bob Crane, resident.
Bill Overbay, resident.
Karen Osno, zoning administrator, collector of delinquent taxes.
He's a tree guy. He's marking the tree.
I think that's everybody, Emily.
Frank Barron, resident. Sorry, I was waiting for an opening.
And didn't you say Ellen was there?
Yes, I saw Ellen. I think, let me see if she's, I talked to her. Is she still on? She may have dropped off. She was on earlier. Oh, I see her. She's still here. She's still
okay.
Here.
Okay. So that's everybody then, yes?
Yes, and Alan just says he has no microphone, so.
Okay, well, that's okay, too. Okay, is there any public comment on those items not associated with the agenda?
Yes, this is Frank.
Okay, Frank.
Yeah, I got a call this week for someone asking me what happened with District 4, and so I went back and listened to the recording, and apparently it was reported that we were having trouble with District 4 and getting them to do work, and also we had a bad reputation. And I talked to Chris Bump this week about it, and he's kind of dumbfounded, as was I. I felt I had, and unless someone else has other information, Chris and I had a great relationship working on things like the slide bank, getting the hydraulic study for Galaxy Hill Culvert, and also he was the first person I worked with or talked with about coordinating how Hill was sharing, and he was kind of our advocate between the two towns. And so I guess my question is, where did this information come from that was reported at the last meeting?
It came from me.
So
there have been some difficulties there. There have been some miscommunications, and some people got called on the carpet for one thing and another, lack of easements and things relating to projects that were federal projects and state projects. And so we're trying to rebuild the relationship, and he has been very helpful on the Howe Hill thing. We got the grant, and he extended the work zone, the work timing, so that we could start on the 1st of May rather than to wait until the 1st of July, even though we can't get funding. I had quite a long conversation with him at the end of last week, and I think things seem to be fine.
Well,
at this point,
I guess the comment you made that rebuilding the relationship has me confused, because obviously the person who called said, "What'd you do?" Meaning me, since I was then the road commissioner and the town advocate or town representative in that respect for the last 2 years. So,
the original incident had to do with the bridge down by Dana Road, and also there was an issue there was something that went wrong down on The bridge that they put up on Barber Hill that they lost during Irene. And there was one other incident, which I cannot recall. But the bottom line is that when we make mistakes, and the V-Trans takes a hit, too, because they're ultimately responsible. And I think we just have to be very careful that we get the easements and things that we need that we're supposed to have in place for these projects to occur, and that was not happening. And people got called on the carpet a little bit for it. And they take the hit, as do we. And that was the information that I had, and according to the conversation that I had with Chris Bump, that indeed was the case. And so they take a hit for it, and we take a hit for it, but ultimately we are responsible for those kinds of things.
So I guess my question is, none of these incidents were during the past couple of years, which wasn't clear to the listeners.
Well, I understand that, and I didn't realize that I had to be extremely – I was quite cautious to be not specific for many reasons, because I just don't feel that that's appropriate. But no, that is correct. They did not occur on your watch.
Okay.
When you were road commissioner. It was before that.
All right. Thanks for the clarification. The other thing, just as a side note, District 4 is not an engineering company. They have engineers, and they're really mostly our advocates. They help us with projects like getting hydraulic studies done. They actually were the ones that took 90% of the lead doing the slide bank down by tunnels and things. But they service 30 towns in their district, so they don't have the resources to engineering for us to a great extent. They've offered in the past to do some topographic surveys and things, and quite honestly, they just admitted to me they didn't have time to do them after committing. So anyway, with that in mind, I will close by asking if the board is still going to move ahead with the engineering study, if you will, or for the Pomfret Road, LeBounty Road intersection, since we put aside $7,500 this year for that engineering. It'd be nice if it could get done this year. And as some of you may recall, I've written the RFP, and somebody just needs to go over and put dates and the fine touches on it, but the RFP has been written.
Right now, from what I understand from the governor's message and having spoken with someone in Montpelier today, that right now all of the construction is, they're considering non-essential. And so at this point, I am unclear as to whether they will even allow this Howe Hill project to occur, depending on COVID-19.
Yep.
And right now, V-Trans is all working from home. They're not working at the office. If you try and reach them, you have to call them on their cell phone. They are not working at the office. So I think right now, everything is on hold. We also have a request in for V-Trans to look at the Tego intersection, and I was going to touch base with Rita Sato again about that today, and that seems to be on hold, and so I think we will get to that intersection as well, but quite frankly, and the other board members can answer, this is my opinion. Right now, my concern is to hopefully get Howe Hill and make sure that's going to come under, get done. There's some easements that we've got to get for up there, and that's what Jimmy and I have been working on. And these other things hopefully will fall into place if we can get through this COVID thing. But right now, everyone is working from home. We're all supposed to stay home, and to get these surveys and things done is going to be a little bit challenging.
I think we need to anticipate that we're going to likely have some budget shortfalls as well this year due to potential tax payments and people being out of work. So I think we really need to focus on things that we absolutely have to get done. And as much as it would be nice to have that project done, we're just not going to have the money for it, in all honesty.
That's true as well.
Well,
we're looking at both right now, a shortfall in the general fund and the highway fund in this current year.
So that's an agenda item for tonight, right?
Understood. And just while I've got Jim on, Jim and the rest of the board on, I have contacted Chip Carver about, doing work both in the right-of-way and tree trimming on his property, and he would like to meet with Jim or some representative so that they could specifically tell him what they want to do. And I'll forward Chip's email information to you all.
That would be wonderful. That would be great. I think Jimmy has touched base with his sister as well, haven't you, Jim?
Yeah, Marcy, is it?
Yeah, Marcy.
So we're trying to get that easement, and also for working on that large culvert, but also to try and do something. There's a culvert in that plan for the swamp up above his upper access there, and so we need his permission to do something there as well.
Right, right. And all those things I discussed with him. So he just wants to be on the ground and just have it explained to him. So I'll pass that information along.
That would be very helpful, Frank. One other thing. Did you get my email that I forwarded to you that came from Kevin Geiger regarding your supplies for emergency services?
Yeah, I did. I actually got it through another avenue, too. Unfortunately, at this point, we don't qualify because we haven't spent enough. And the other problem, quite honestly, is we can't spend money because no one has anything for us. So we're getting by with some N95 masks that I happen to have personally in stock, and we're using goggles and gloves, and we're wearing our jumpsuits, which we can easily launder. So we're doing the best we can with what we've got so far.
And also be aware that this has now become a FEMA event, and this is an EM3437 Vermont FEMA event. And so if you have any expenses, track them and keep track of them, and depending on how bad this gets, we may be able to get reimbursement for those.
Okay, will do. I'm all set then. I'm out.
Thank you, Frank. Any other public comment? All right, moving on. Agenda review. Does anyone have anything that they wish to add? I have three items, but we can put those at the end. Does anyone else have anything they wish to add?
Emily, I did receive a quote from John, so if we want to put that in, where we were going to have discussion about maybe painting at the town garage.
Okay. Well, let's just consider that's going to come on there as well. And at the same time, anyone else got anything?
Emily, this is Scott. I've got a couple of additions.
Okay.
First, though, I would recommend that we move the tax shortfall discussion, item 5H, closer to the top of the meeting, because I think whether there's a shortfall in FY20 and 21 for that matter, it is relevant for a lot of other discussions.
Well, that's fine. We can do that.
I would also like to talk about just a quick review of our rules of procedure in making agendas. And I would also like to add whether the town should purchase its own Zoom account for COVID-19. And I'd also like to add a discussion about inviting Chris Bump to talk about our relationship with District 4.
Okay, we also have to add this FEMA emergency declaration has come forth. I'd like to add discussion about appointing Neil to be our assistant for the FEMA 3437, and with that we would have to discuss a rate of pay for him and mileage. We also need to make a decision regarding the zoning regulations and a hearing. We have some things that are coming up that we either need to get done fairly soon, or we're going to have to start back at square one. And then there's also a CD that needs to be reinvested for the fire department, and we need to take action on that. Any other things that you want to add, or anyone wants to take away?
Actually, one more, Emily. We should just briefly go over VLCT's FAQ that they published for COVID-19. It has relevance in getting orders. It's kind of administrative, but I think we should all hear it at the same time and just talk about things that we can do now in the context of COVID-19.
All right. I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
We need to do this on a roll call vote. Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Emily? Aye. Okay, we're going to start with approval of 3, 4, and 18, 2020 minutes. Have you all read those, and are there any corrections?
Mrs. Scott, I've got a number of corrections for both minutes. I don't know how you want to handle it. I can, again, send them to Cynthia, but they're basically are a number of things that need spelling mistakes and accuracy and just typos and stuff like that. We can go down them one by one, or I can send the changes.
Well, considering we have a pretty long agenda, I would suggest that you send those corrections to Cindy, and she can redo the minutes, and then we will adopt them at the next meeting.
Okay, great. Let's do that.
Rather than go try and spend 15 minutes going down through them, seeing that we all are in a different location.
Okay.
Anyone have a problem with that?
No.
No.
Okay. Warrants for approval. Cindy, could you read the email that Ellen sent you regarding the various warrants for approval, their numbers, and the amounts? Is Cindy there?
She's here. Cindy, can you hear us? She's on her phone?
I think she can hear us, but it popped up on my screen a minute ago that she couldn't speak. She has no speaker, maybe?
Huh. Okay.
Well, okay. Here, let's see. We have, I don't know how many warrants we have here, but... Ellen sent some of them to us.
So it looks like there's warrant 19097 for AP accounts payable in the amount of $38,025.30. And then we have payroll warrant 19096 in the amount of $10,227.07.
Okay, are those the only two that we have?
I believe so.
Okay, I need a motion.
So moved.
Chuck, are there any questions? Excuse me?
Chuck, second.
Are there any questions on those warrants that anyone was confused about? Then I would suggest that are you ready to vote on those?
Sure.
I assume so. So all those in favor, Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Okay. Road foreman's report. Jimmy, you're on call.
Okay. So we started going around trying to fix up some of the potholed roads right now where we can. So we've been working on that, but we've been down, Justin. This will be his second week out. He's been out on sick leave, I guess. So we've been in, I've been up and mapped out and marked out and everything, the Bunker Hill project, if we're able to do that. And I'm pulling some numbers together right now on how much that's going to be. I did call Indy Brothers today. They're supposed to be calling me back with a price on servicing the tractor because it's due for service. And let's see, I called Pike just to talk to them a little bit and see how their end was, if this COVID was, you know, messing with them at all. And he said as of right now it wasn't. They were kind of headed on schedule, and he said that his construction, that Mike Avery is it? I think his name's Mike Avery.
Yeah.
He's going to do the culverts. He said that he was still aboard with them too as well. So
okay.
Where that goes, I don't know yet, but I mean, like he said, things can change. So, and we want to get back cutting more trees on Howe Hill, but I got to wait till I have three guys and not just two of us. And Keith Sawyer called me, and well, I reached out to him just to see if he wanted to mow roadsides again this year for us. He did say if we were interested in having him back, that he would come and mow 3 days a week this time if we wanted him to.
Okay.
And Chris Magnin, the crack sealing guy, I called him to see what the deal was with them. And he said that he would come in the second to the third week of May, if we still want him to do this crack sealing that was supposed to have been done last year there, but it got too late in the fall there, so I told him to hold off. And he did say that if we had more in the budget that we wanted him to do for the this coming summer, then he said he would wait, he would do it all while he was here, and then bill you guys in July if that was an avenue you wanted to do.
Okay.
And then the other question that I do have is mainly for John, but the radios at the garage, the programming that they've done, the radios, number one, John, you did a good job with them. It's really good for us, but they don't scan. None of them scan. And I don't know why or anything, but we probably ought to look into why.
Yep, I can contact them and see if we can add a scan channel into them. I know previously it had been on channel, I think, 16, which is the last one. So if it's not scanning when you go to the very end, then it's probably not programmed in there. So I can get a hold of them and see if I can get an answer.
Okay. Yep. And then other than that, I mean, I'm waiting right now for Green Mountain Power to call me back when they're going to come in and do these trees for me, and I've reached out to them twice now, no one's called me back, but we're still being patient with it.
Hey, Jim, this is Scott.
Yep.
How are you guys doing in the context of all the COVID-19 stuff? Or I know, are you guys feeling okay about things?
Yeah, no, everything's going good. I mean, we've been keeping what they call the social distance there. And of course, we got slew shit down there. We dump on our hands all the time, keep our hands washed out. For the most part, I mean, we keep our distance anyways because I'm either in the grader and that's in the truck or stuff of that nature. So we're not really on top of each other anymore. But
yep.
With Justin being out, I mean, that was a deal where he initially called and said he was sick, and he was good and came in and helped me to plow with that last snowstorm we had. And then after that, he still stayed home. And then he called me up and said, hey, I feel somewhat all right. I can come in to work. And I said, why don't we just talk with Emily? So me and Emily had a short discussion on it, and I figured it'd be best if he stayed home. But I told him if he weren't good by Friday, he should be contacting a doctor or something. And so he did, and his doctor recommended that he stay out one more week. So that's all I know about that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Jim?
No questions. This is Steve. I would just like to comment, Jim, how for what you've done so far. It looks fantastic. Good work.
Thank you.
Nothing else then for you. Do you have any thoughts whether Justin had COVID-19? Did he get tested for that or anything?
No. I don't know. He said that his doctor asked him if he'd been around anybody that had it, and he said no, not that he was aware of anyways. They told him, oh, I guess we won't worry about it. That's kind of how it ended, I guess.
Okay. Shall we move on to tree removal bids and decision?
That's good.
I sent you guys all the three bids that we got from Henderson, Timber Tender, and Chippers. And so you should all have had those before you. To refresh your memory, Henderson was going to bring up a four-man crew, $4,500 a day. He thought to do the job, it would take 2 days. And this is all the trees up on Howe Hill that need to be cut that the power company and or Jim can't do. And that would be estimated at $9,000. Timber Tender had suggested they would bring a three-man crew at $1,800 a day, and they thought they could do the job in 1 day. Am I remembering correctly, Cy?
First correction, none of the trees on Howe Hill were looked at. These were all the trees from the Pomfret School to Howe Hill Road. The Howe Hill Hazard Tree Project, we were going to wait and to see what the road crew could do on their own and then reevaluate, what needed to be come down after that.
Okay.
So this is everything that's been painted that Jim and I looked at from the Pomfret School, primarily dead elm trees all the way up through past Tego, nothing down Stage Road, but continuing up through to the town offices and then down to Howe Hill.
Okay, and then Chippers, with traffic control, would have been $3,800 a day with four workers, and with the town doing traffic control, it would be three workers and $3,100 a day and a 5% discount before May 1. And are you still there, Jim?
Yep.
I guess I misunderstood the bids. I thought that they were going to take out the trees on Howe Hill that Jim didn't feel comfortable taking out, and or that the power company would not get down for us. And so I guess I misunderstood the bid.
Yeah, and me and Cy had talked about that, and I guess, that's kind of my bad there, too, because we had talked about doing that and then waiting and seeing what we got done up on Howe Hill, and then what I didn't want to do, then I would see if they'd come in and mark it out. We'd have them trees designated by that, and they would be able to come in, but as time's going away now, we probably would be better off if we could get them to go up there and give us a price on some of the ones that I know I cannot do.
I don't think it matters much what section of the road they go to. It's all going to be the same amount of equipment, same amount of, if that road is closed, it'd be even easier without having to run a road crew, sign crew. But either way, you're bringing the, same size crew and the same equipment. So if we want to move them and prioritize Howe Hill Project, I don't think it matters much.
They're still going to charge us the same per day is what you're saying, Scott?
Correct.
Okay. And so I need to know what the board wishes to do here and where you wish to prioritize your money I think we had $7,500 in the budget this year, or maybe $10,000, and we've only used $400 of it thus far. Those were in, I can look quickly, but we need to decide who we're going to do that with, or and where we're going to do it, because as the summer goes on, it's going to be more expensive because they're giving us a good price for winter.
So,
because they don't have work this time of year.
So question for, I guess, Jim and or Cy, for the Howe Hill, presuming that project goes forward, are there trees that need to come down regardless, or is that optional?
Some of them are regardless, I feel, yeah.
Some of them have to come down no matter what?
Yep. Yep.
And those are the ones that you guys couldn't hit. I know you guys have been working on it, but those are the ones you guys couldn't do yourselves, right?
Correct. Yeah, because of the power company, I don't know, so I can tell you more of their regulation, but they don't cut very much. So there's a lot of these trees that are leaning out over, that are hazard trees leaning out over the power lines that they will not cut because they're far enough back. So those are the ones that I can't cut.
Emily, just so you know, Bob Coates just joined us.
Hi, everybody.
Okay. Hi, Bob.
So, you know,
we have $10,000 in the budget, of which we have only spent $400.
What I was going to recommend to the board is that I think there is logic, and I don't think it strays too far to not spend what's in the operating account for that work that needs to occur on Howe Hill Road, but we could actually use the paving reserve since we're using the paving. We should be using paving reserve for the work that John's been doing for, you know, pulling together the RFP. I think tree cutting for the purpose of that project would qualify for the reserve. That way we're not touching our operating, and that helps us protect against one of the next topics, which is around whether what we're looking at in terms of closing out FY20. So I guess what I'm saying is that I would limit what we're doing for now, because we're potentially looking at issues in the operating account, that we would lean on the paving reserve as part of the Howe Hill Road project, just to get those trees for that project.
Does anyone else have any thoughts on the matter?
John Peters, I'm just going to say I'm not going to participate in this because I work for Chippers, so just to make that clear.
Well, I realize you can't participate in who decides who we decide to get the work, but what we do or how we pay for it is something that you can participate in.
Yes.
We haven't made a decision, so do you have any I appreciate the fact that you have a conflict of interest and you don't want to vote on who gets awarded the business, but do you have any thoughts on where this money should come from, or what work should get done?
Yeah, I think Cy's right. I think whether we have them up there along Pomfret Road, it's, you know, they've given us a day rate, basically, and so that's what it's going to cost, you know, to do the work. And I would pay for what's along Howe Hill, because that's for improvement of the road, so I see no problem with paying for that out of the paving reserve, providing that there's that amount of money in there to do that.
Should be an issue.
Cy here. Jim, if you guys are up on Owl Hill doing work anyway with the trucks and excavator, it could be expedited for you guys to take all the oversized wood back to the garage and not include that able to just continue on marching down the road.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that at all.
Well, that would expedite the project, and if we're paying on a day rate, we might get away with more trees cut at less expense. Correct,
Tom? Exactly. Yes, yes. It would be better use of a tree company to just use them for what they're good at. You know, you guys can, you've got the equipment there too, and the bigger trucks to easily move that wood off-site.
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense.
So maybe you guys, maybe want to allocate, 2 days on How Hill and, maybe a day on the other stuff or 2 days on the other stuff and see how far that gets us. I did put a deadline of May 1st on the work on Pomfret Road. So that could be, that could be addressed first, and then that would give us some time to see if this, see if the How Hill project is even going to happen, and also give the road crew some time to whittle away at some more of that work, and then we could have a more accurate, idea of what needs to be addressed on How Hill.
Well, I think from what Jimmy has talked to me about, he would like to see those trees and that work get done before the How Hill project gets done up there. He doesn't want to put down a new layer of pavement and go to all the work of getting all the culverts in and everything done and then tear it up trying to cut trees. So it would be my thought that whomever we have do it, that we get the How Hill stuff that Jimmy can't cut done first, and then decide how many days we want to put into this project. And we can only, at this point, if indeed it's going to come out of a paving reserve, it can only, the work on How Hill is the only place we can really manage to do that, because that's part of the paving project. The other is just plain maintenance that we have allowed to accumulate and not done. So we have to be mindful of that as well. That's my view. The rest of the board may think otherwise. I do believe that, and Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, that getting those How Hill trees done before we start redoing the pavement was a priority that you have.
Correct. Yep, it is.
Right?
Yep.
I would think as long as they're done before they start the actual work. I mean, if it's done after the culverts are in, it shouldn't be an issue, but certainly before they, start the main project.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when are they going to put pavement down in the, at some point during the summer, midsummer, late summer?
Well, yes, but that work on How Hill has got to get done before the 1st of May. And the reason for that is they can go in and start putting those culverts in on the 1st of May. And if we are there messing around as well, they're not going to be able to do that job efficiently, and that's what we want them to be able to do, because they're under a bid. And so we can't be mucking around up there and have another, in other words, we said we'd close the road for them, but we can't be mucking around up there cutting trees while they're trying to put in culverts. At least that would be my feeling. They're on a bid thing, and they're expecting to have everything ready so that they can just go to town, or it would be my feeling that we've got to get that done before the 1st of May, if they're going to start the project, and I'm assuming that they are, that we are going to we're going to get the work done before that. Wouldn't you think, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, I would try to get the tree removal of it done before any construction was to start up there, for sure.
So I think we have two decisions to make. One is, which vendor do we wish to hire to do this, and then how many days we wish to spring for. And I guess my thought would be, looking at the numbers, Timber Tender is the least expensive of the three for a per day charge. And so I would move. Go ahead. Did someone want to interrupt me? So I would move that we contract with Timber Tender to do the trees on Howe Hill, and perhaps they could estimate how many days that might take. And then if indeed that can come out of the paving reserve, then we could at least spend 2 or 3 days starting at the town line down in next to Woodstock and come up through for 2 or 3 days there as well.
Are you saying that it would be part of the project, or
no? We cannot. This is going to, if we're going to use paving reserve money,
right,
it has only got to be used on the Howe Hill project. It cannot be used elsewhere.
Yeah,
we're not paving elsewhere.
I understand.
So,
that's why I was confused about cutting down stuff.
We have a lot of trees that need to be cut. We still have $9,600 in the tree budget. We could get 2 or 3 days worth of trees cut in our budget money, if we so chose, and we want to spend that money. And we could also take the Howe Hill money out of the paving reserve to get that job done first. So there's two decisions. First of all, I would move that, and someone would have to second me. First of all, I would move that we take the low bid, which is Timber Tender, to do whatever tree cutting work we want to do that Jim cannot do for us or Green Mountain Power cannot do for us in this current season.
This is Chuck. I mean on Howe Hill.
On Howe Hill, right.
Correct.
Yeah.
No. It doesn't matter where they do the work. We need to decide which vendor we're going to go with. And I would move, because Timber Tender is the least expensive per day, that we contract with Timber Tender to do what tree cutting we want to have done in this spring season. That's number one. So is there a second on that motion?
So just to be clear what the motion is, it's just selecting a vendor. That is the motion.
The motion is to contract with the least expensive vendor, Timber Tender, to do cutting for us in this spring season right now for trees. Then the second motion will be what we wish to have them do.
So first,
we've got to decide on a vendor.
Oh, okay. So, vendor.
I'll second your motion, Emily, as far as having Timber Tenders do the work.
Thank you, Steve.
And then
does there want to be any more discussion on who we get to do the work before we vote on that motion? Anybody? Okay, let's vote on the motion. Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
John?
Abstain.
You can vote on, maybe you can't vote on this one because Tippers is part of this.
Yeah.
John has to, he has a conflict of interest. Scott?
Aye.
And I would vote aye. So we have 4 votes, and John did not vote because of conflict of interest. So we now have decided that Timber Tender will do what cutting we want to have them do for this spring season in 2020. Now, second, what do we want to have them do? I would move that at the very least, we have them do all of the trees that need to be cut on Howe Hill, and that be paid for out of paving reserve, because that is part of the paving project. So let's go for that.
I'll second
regardless,
that.
We don't know how many days that's going to take because they haven't looked at it. But we're going to get that out of the paving reserve, and we're going to do whatever it takes to get that job done. Do I have a second for that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. Are we ready to, do we wish to discuss that, or are we just going to vote on that? Is there any discussion?
No.
Okay. Then all those in favor, Chuck?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
John, you can vote on this now because the decision has already been made as to which vendor we will use.
Yep, aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Emily, aye. Okay, now, the third part of the situation is, who do we wish for Timber Tender to do anything from the Pomfret-Woodstock town line going north toward Howe Hill-Pomfret Road intersection? And if so, how many days worth of work do we wish for them to do?
I'm not comfortable deciding that until we know what our budget position is. So there's been a lot of talk over the past couple of days about, and I don't know if we're talking FY21 or FY20 or both, but, you know, deficit has been, you know, exceeding our
revenue. The tax shortfall for COVID-19 extensions is going to come in 2021, 2022, because our tax payments probably are going to be late because income taxes are going to be late.
So to be clear, the concerns that have been raised over the past couple of days about our budget, our town budget, is about the FY21 budget, not FY20.
Incorrect. Well, there's two things. We can defer the third part of the timber tender decision until later if you wish. We definitely are going to have to consider for the next year's budget, 2020 and 2021, that we may have to borrow money in the beginning of that fiscal year because our taxes, because of the extension they've given for state and federal income taxes, our tax collections may also have to come later in the year because the homestead exemption information and none of that will be available. I can't say for sure that that's the case, but that has been, that is the concern, and that is the current concern that has been expressed through treasurers, through Ellen, to me. So I'm kind of the bad person messenger saying we've got to deal with that. We've got to make plans for that if indeed that is going to be the case. And we'll know more in another month. We also may be running a deficit here. I have not looked over these financials carefully, but from what Ellen has put in her notes, we may be running a deficit in both the highway and the general fund.
For FY20.
For this fiscal year that we're in now. And I'll be honest, I did not have time to look at those figures carefully. Maybe you did, but I certainly did not. And so I can't really speak with any kind of knowledge there. I'm more than willing to just have timber tenders get Howe Hill done, and we'll just let the rest go and put that $9,600 toward the charges that we are already incurring that we have no choice on. That's perfectly fine with me as well. I don't have a feeling that we have to get anything more done. I do think that we definitely should get Howe Hill done. And if that can come out of the paving reserve, then I think that's great.
Yeah. So I think I would recommend to the board that we, until we get a deeper analysis on what our budgetary position is for FY20, that we, you know, take a conservative posture for the remainder of this fiscal year, just until we know where we're at. So I think, you know, anything that is that we've got some discretion on for now, I think it would be wise just to hold back until we get a better sense of where we're at with the budget. I did start to run the numbers after Ellen sent the Excel version and you know, I didn't quite finish, but it's hard to say from looking at the numbers. You know, we don't have a lot of headroom left in the budget for
that. No, we don't.
But the general fund looks a little bit better. But I don't think any of us really have a clear picture of where we're at. So I think we should take that up next meeting and dig deeper into those numbers.
My concern is that, you know, we keep kicking the can down the road. There's a lot of trees between the Woodstock line and say Bartlett Brook that are, they're falling into the road pretty frequently. You know, maybe if we only did like, you know, took a little bit of a conservative route and give them like 3 days worth of work, that would get a long ways. And we do have the rainy day fund also for a little bit of a cushion here too. I mean, I don't think 3 days worth of work at $1,800 a day is going to break us, but it's going to keep us going in the right direction of staying ahead of this tree work.
Well, but earlier in the meeting, I don't remember who said it, but you know, we have money in the budget for doing the engineering work on LeBounty intersection. But we, in the context of that conversation, it was said, well, we're looking at a budget issue, so maybe we shouldn't spend that money. So,
I agree with that. I agree with that, but I think we're looking at a little bit different situation here because these dead trees falling into the road are a safety issue. And now we've gone and painted these trees, so we're showing that we're aware that they're a danger and a risk to the public. I think we should be working on them and addressing it. I'm not saying spend the whole $10,000, but I do think we ought to be doing something.
Well, can I
make a compromise? Can I make a compromise here and also get an understanding with Jim and Cy before they both decide they want to turn off their phone and leave? First of all, Cy and Jim, Cy, you have authority to contact Timber Tender and tell them that they have gotten the bid and go up on Howe Hill with Jimmy and figure out what needs to be cut up there and tell them they can do it and coordinate with Jimmy to do it at any time. And then secondly, we can sit on our financials and figure where we're at right now and what kind of leeway we have in the various categories that we have any, and we could then get also at the same time an estimate from Timber Tender as to how long it would take him with the town crew to pick up the big trees and stuff and get them out of there, how long it would take them to get from the Woodstock Pomfret town line, especially opposite just below Tego, where all those elm trees are just fallen in the road, how many days we could get an estimate as to how many days it would take them to get to Bartlett Brook Road with the help of the road crew. And that being said, in 2 weeks, we would have a good estimate as to how much work they would get done and how long it would take, and then we can take that up at that next meeting in 2 weeks, the 15th. Does that sound reasonable to everybody?
Yeah.
This is Chuck. So what we're saying is, as ask Timber Tenders to take a look at that work from the Woodstock town line to Howe Hill, and tell us how long they think it would take, because their estimate was for $1,800 per day, but without telling us how long they thought the project would take.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so they could give us an estimate of how long it would take us to, how many days it would take them to get partway there or all the way there. But in the meanwhile, get them to do Howe Hill so that that would be out of the way, which will not affect the budget, will only affect the reserve account.
So that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Is that something you all could buy into?
Sure. Sounds good.
I could go
and then we'd know what our finances better in a couple weeks, Scott?
Yeah, I just think it's important for us to get a better sense.
Do we need to take a vote on that, or is that just consensus that we all we want to have Timber Tender give us a better estimate of what it's going to take in South Pomfret to get that job done?
No, I don't think that requires a vote. We're just asking them to give us a quote.
So is that clear to you, Cy, so you know what to ask him?
Sure is. Yep.
Great. Are we all settled on that? We all know where we're at?
Yes.
We're good.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'll reach out to you to look at the How Hell stuff maybe this week or certainly next week.
Okay. Yep.
Great. Okay, the next item on the agenda is sick pay for the highway crew and COVID-19. And I wrote to you all in an email when we were discussing the agenda exactly what happened with that Justin took off Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, although he did come in to plow when Jimmy asked him. He said he was sick. He wanted to come back on Thursday, and Jimmy and I discussed it, and we decided that we didn't know what he had, and nor did he, and that probably he should wait out the rest of the week and stay out. And as I believe I forwarded to you an email and a response that I sent to Jill Muir regarding this situation. And so the bottom line is we need to know, because Jimmy and I told Justin not to come in on Thursday and Friday, do we want to just pay him? Do we want to have him take that out as sick days? He now is going to take another week out on advice of his doctor. And then starting April 1, there is the federal guidelines that say employees can get up to 10 days of additional sick leave for COVID-19. So we need to put the, and did you all get the forwarded response from Jill?
I think this is kind of a no-brainer, right? I mean, first of all, I think it should be an easy choice to pay him for that time.
Yes.
I think so too, but we need to give Ellen some guidance as to how to count this on his sick pay and whatever. Well, and I did not feel comfortable telling her how to do that. And these are unusual times, unusual circumstances. And so we just need to decide whether that's going to come out of his sick time, whether Thursday and Friday will just get paid because we told him to stay away because of caution regarding COVID-19. We need to have a board decision as to how we want to handle that. And then perhaps if he's out, for instance, today, tomorrow, and Friday, that would be part of that 2 weeks, 10 days of sick leave that the federal government has mandated. So
I'd like to maybe cut to the chase here, but I'd like to put a motion on the table that we establish that our employees, not just anybody who's a town employee, that they be, that 10 days we start with, and we can reevaluate later if we have to, but we can start with 10 days of paid sick leave, and we can call it COVID-19 sick leave, whatever you want to call it. But, I'll tell you from working in Montpelier and what's going on in various agencies and branches in government of Montpelier, the general rule has been if people don't feel safe coming to work, then don't come to work. And they're getting paid because, you can't afford to lose people either. So I think what I'd like to recommend, and again, my motion would be that the board establish 10 days of COVID-19 paid sick leave that any employee can take as needed. And if they use up those 10 days, we can reevaluate it later.
I'll second that.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Any comments, Steve?
That sounds good. I guess my only question is are the the 2 days that you and Jimmy asked him to stay home, are we just going to pay for that, or is that going to be part of this 10 days?
Yeah, we can make it part of the 10 days, but again, if anybody uses up their 10 days, we can revisit this again later.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Well, we have no choice anyway. That 10 days is mandated. We have no choice in the matter.
This is Chuck. I would like to see us pay him for those 2 days and not take it from his 10 days.
Okay. Well, I think that is fair myself. That is what I would have suggested. That is what I felt was right, because he wanted to come back to work.
Exactly.
And we told him we best be safe and sorry than sorry.
Right.
And so we told him not to.
You
want to
make that a motion, Chuck?
I move that we pay Justin for those 2 days.
Actually, let's deal with the first motion and get that right.
Okay.
Yep. You're right, Scott.
Okay.
But your motion, Scott.
So your motion, Scott, was to pay to honor the 10 days of sick leave that is federally mandated for COVID-19.
For all town employees.
Correct.
That's fine. So,
yes.
But you're going to honor that 10 days. Now, I only am asking a clarification. I don't disagree with that. They additionally then would get whatever sick days they had accumulated regarding the number of years that they had worked and whatever as well.
Correct. They
in
have
addition,
their,
is that correct?
They have their personal sick days as well.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Does anyone need any more clarification on Scott's motion?
No.
No.
So, Chuck?
Had a second on it, I second it. If we haven't had a second.
Steve seconded, I believe, didn't he?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I vote aye. Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And I am an aye also. Now, secondly, Chuck, would you like to make a motion regarding the 2 days, Thursday and Friday of last week, where we asked Justin to stay home and he was willing to come to work?
Yeah, I move that we pay Justin for those 2 days.
Okay. And not take it off of his sick
days. Not take it off his second, off his sick days.
I'll second
and
that.
I would second that. Is there any discussion? Then all those in favor, Chuck?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. So unanimous. Okay. Are we all set on sick pay for the highway crew and the entire crew, all employees at this point? Are we done with this section of the deal?
I think so.
Okay. Painting of town garage is next on the list.
Emily, sorry to interrupt. We never decided where, but when we revised the agenda, we decided to move the tax shortfall discussion up close. I think it'd be a good idea, because it is a pretty important topic, and it does color some of our other conversations. Can we move to the tax shortfall discussion?
If we're going to put the tax shortfall discussion, can we do one other thing? Because we have quite a few people here that are hanging on the line and want to find out what we are going to do regarding appointing the representative to the supervisory union. So would I have consensus to move that before any of these other discussions, so that those people, if they didn't wish to hear us carry on, they could leave?
Sure.
Yeah,
would
that
be all right, Scott?
Yeah. I didn't realize we had people waiting for that specific item.
Well, you do.
Okay.
So I sent out a listserv post. Eventually, the central office did as well. I had Becky put it on the website. We have to appoint a representative to the supervisory union to fill the resignation spot of Patty Kaminsky. and I got two responses back showing interest in that appointment. One was Doug Tuttle, and the other was Bill Overbay. And I also reached out to Bob Coates again. We had changed emails back and forth regarding did he have anyone that had any expressed any interest to him, and he said that indeed he did not. So we have those two people that have been interested in that position, and so I think we should discuss what we want to do in that regard.
Good. Emily, can I just clarify that I did pass along Bill Overbay's name as someone who was interested, and I had a conversation with Bob Crane as well.
But Bob was not interested, right?
Correct. He's too busy hanging out on the beach.
Oh. Well, that's one way to get rid of COVID-19.
You have a recommendation.
I'm kidding. His background is he's silhouetted on a beach on Zoom.
you have a recommendation?
Anyway, I guess my feeling would be, and I'm only one individual, but Bill has three children in the system, I believe. Is that correct, Bill? I thought
sorry.
It was with
yep,
the that
is correct.
He's on.
Yep. No,
and
no, I'm here.
Seem,
sorry, trying to figure out how to
mute.
So you don't hear the
but
three
any,
kids and the Nerf gun wars going on in the background.
Anyway, having been on the school board myself, I think that it is much easier to know what's going on in the school system if you have kids that are in the school system when you serve. And so it would be my thought that Bill would be a better choice at this time. I know he's gone to several of the school board meetings because I've seen him there myself. And so that would only be my thought, but anyone else can have any other thoughts that they so choose.
To me, it's important to have somebody that has kids in the school system if they're going to be on the school board. So, yes.
Yeah, this is Chuck. I agree with that. I also happen to know that, that Bill is a big Grateful Dead fan, and that goes a long way with me.
Mr. Chairman,
thanks, Chuck.
Steve, Scott, do you have any comment?
Is that on your resume, Bill?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have a comment, if I may.
Sure.
Can you get a little louder, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know how to increase my volume, but I'm fully in favor of Bill. I think he'd be a fine choice. I'm not interested right now in serving on the board, but I think I can play a hand from the outside.
Right.
And we thank you for those efforts. Any other comments?
I move that we appoint Bill Overbay to be the town's representative on the Unified District Board.
Second that.
Are you ready to vote for that? I assume so.
Ready.
Chuck?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
And myself, aye. Welcome aboard to the world of public service, Bill.
I think, thank you.
We hope you enjoy it.
I will. Thank you very much. I appreciate the trust.
And we thank you very much for being willing to pick up and serve. We really appreciate that a lot.
Yep. Well, thank you all for
okay.
the support.
Moving on, we've got that one done. Now you want to talk about...
If you don't mind, I'm going to actually step off to put the three boys to bed.
That's perfectly fine. You don't have to stay for... None of you have to stay for the whole meeting if you don't want to. So we're good
Thank
to go.
Thank you very much.
Here I thought you guys are totally interested in select board meetings.
That's next month. School board is enough, I can tell you. See y'all.
Thanks, everyone.
See ya.
All right. Now you want tax shortfall, COVID-19 extensions. The reason I put this on there is there is some concern that because of the income taxes being put off until, I don't know, can't recall whether it's the 15th of July or the 1st of July, that all of the paperwork that has to go into those and the homestead exemptions and all of that will be late, and so we will not be able to put our tax bills out as early as we ordinarily do, which means our tax revenue will not come in as early as we normally have it, which means we may be able to stay within our budget with no difficulty, but that we may have a shortfall, a temporary shortfall, because of the large number of items that get voted on in town meeting and have to get paid the 1st of July.
I think that it's definitely a concern, which hopefully is a short-term concern to me. The bigger long-term concern of mine is how, and it's all going to be on how long this all lasts, but I perceive, depending on how this all turns out, that there's the serious potential to have lasting shortfall in taxes due to people's inabilities to pay based on potentially losing jobs. So I just think we need to be prepared for that as well.
Well, I think that that is also a definite concern, and people may not be able to pay their taxes. They may not be able to pay them on time. But I think we need to, we can see how things go in the next month or two, but I think we need to be prepared to, that those rainy day funds that we have may not carry us far enough into the year so that we may have to do some short-term borrowing. Yep. And I just think we need to be prepared. We need to watch things closely because we are in uncharted territory.
For sure.
So just to be clear, we are talking about the startup for FY21. That's the context of this conversation.
That is correct.
Okay.
We may have a deficit in this current year that we are in now. That remains to be seen as well. But we certainly are going to have to watch how things play out so that we may have to do some short-term borrowing, or we may have to curtail some projects or something, because we may, that tax shortfall, because the taxes may not come in the 15th of August like we're scheduled to, may be a concern that we do not have enough money to carry us through far enough into the, so that we will have to borrow some money. And we'll have to get that organized ahead of time. It's a short-term loan with interest rates at 0% isn't going to be all that significant. Banks do that to towns all the time. They haven't normally done that for us. But when Irene came around, the town borrowed a large amount of money because they couldn't fix things. They did not have the money to fix things up. And so it isn't the first time Pomfret has borrowed money. But we will have to be mindful of that. I don't think there's anything we need to do right now as far as changing what our budget might be. And that may come in the future, but right now we just have to be mindful that things may not go as planned. And also we have to be mindful that the state may come up short. They're losing, with the shutdown of our economy for all practical purposes, a tremendous amount of income. And if they don't have the income, we may not get some of the things that we anticipate from them.
I mean, there's a lot of unknowns. Things are changing by the day.
That's absolutely correct.
I guess I'm not sure if this is simply a conversation about awareness or if we want to start brainstorming strategies tonight. I get the concern that we could come up short big time for our startup costs, and that means we have to get out the scalpel whenever that time is. That we'll have to figure out what things are critical to spend money on at the beginning of the year and what things aren't. I think one thing I'll just throw out there now, this may not move the dial very far, but I do know that from past discussions with different people that we spend money with, we've actually been able to split the bill. So I'll give you one for instance. I went back and double-checked from email. Our bill to the Greater Upper Valley Solid Waste District, I know that they were fine with us paying half of our bill with them, and then, you know, paying half up front and paying the other half later. So we might have, there might be some flexibility with who we spend money with, depending on the circumstances. So that would, I think, be part of our strategy, is who can we, which payees can we split things up with. Other things, we might have to make some hard decisions about what we're spending money on or not. But I guess it's kind of early. I mean, is it early? I mean, I think the awareness is important, but...
I think the awareness is important. I wouldn't necessarily think that we need to develop a strategy tonight, but I think we need to be aware that this may occur, and we need to be mindful of it. And come June, we may want to start thinking about some strategies, and we may know more then about whether the economy is going to get back on track, whether things are going to get back to normal, or whether we're still going to be stay home and stay safe. If that's the case, it's going to be significant for a large number of people. And so I just wanted you to be aware that this was a possibility. I felt that Ellen had spoken to me about it, and I should share that with you. I don't think there's anything we're going to do about it tonight, but I think that your point is well taken. Anybody else got any other comments on it?
Well, two more comments. One is I think we agreed earlier that is that we would have the FY20 discussion at our next meeting. So digging into the, so I guess we can defer anything about FY20 till the next meeting. But I think in Ellen's email to us, I don't remember exactly what she said, but I don't know if it was sort of a prediction about delinquent tax collection, or and since Karen's here with us tonight, maybe she can give us, shed the light on where we stand right now with delinquent tax collection. I think Ellen's email.
Ellen may have sent a text message via the chat because she doesn't have a microphone, so I don't know if anybody saw that, but I'd be happy to read her comment if you'd like.
Would you please, John?
Yeah, so the difficulty with that suggestion is that until the second tax payment comes in, the town is still living off the first half of taxes until February. So splitting a bill in half doesn't make much difference.
Yeah, well, we can discuss all that when the time comes. We can figure out what the strategies are later.
Yep.
Are you still there, Karen? How are you coming on delinquent taxes?
I am here. So I've had some conversations with the lawyer for Donovan.
Yeah.
The Donovan property. I don't know how much I can say, but they are actually contemplating putting that property up for sale to pay all of the taxes, because that property is in a trust. I have had conversations with Levinson, and then she fell off. Then she kind of dropped off. So I will be starting back up with them as well. I do know that we did get a substantial payment from Penny Clifford.
And so on this year's taxes that are delinquent that we gave, we Ellen gave us those figures 2 weeks ago, and we moved on those. How much money do you have in this year's taxes that are late?
I have not gotten them yet, so I don't.
Oh, you haven't gotten. Okay.
I don't know who is late and how much.
Okay. So it seems to me it was something like $336,000.
That seems about right. There, it generally is high, and then a lot, then things will kind of trickle in because people don't make their February payment. So then they hit that list, and then the money will come in about a month later.
Okay. But you're working on Donovan, and you're trying to work on the lady up on top of the hill.
Yes. And then working on Catherine, the one that bought the house, the little one. The right above the Potters.
House right above the Potters. Oh, you mean where Linda Potter used to be?
Yes. Yes. So trying to get money from that one, too.
Well, you're doing a great job, and we really appreciate it. Was there any other reason why you came, why you're here at the meeting tonight? Or was
I am interested in what is going to happen with the zoning.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get there shortly, hopefully.
Oh, you can see my dog in the background.
Okay. Anything else on delinquent taxes or anything that you want to discuss? Anybody?
No. I'm just working with them, being obviously mindful that obviously the time, the way that it is with the COVID-19, and obviously trying to work with them, but trying to get the taxes done and paid.
Okay, so we now, next on the agenda was painting of the town garage. If Karen is waiting for zoning regulation things so that she doesn't have to stay on the phone for another half an hour, does anyone have an objection if we put the zoning regs discussion next? Any objections? Okay, I ask this to go on for the following reasons. We have got to decide what we're going to do about these zoning regulations, whether we're going to, we have got to schedule a hearing. We have 150 days, and then these, after we had our hearing, and which those interim, the soon-to-be adopted regulations go into effect that are in effect right now, we have 150 days. Then they will no longer be in effect. If we have got to adopt that before July 23, or we will have to start the process all over again. And Ben, if you're still on the phone, you can correct me if I'm wrong. If we were to have a hearing on May 1, we could publish that on April 9th and be legal for that hearing. Excuse me?
How are we going to, I mean, we're not going to be able to do a public hearing unless we do it over Zoom on May 1. So.
Not necessarily. If we were to have the hearing at the town hall, and if no more people came to this, our second hearing, as did to the first, we could easily pack in the town hall, we could easily practice social distancing without any difficulty whatsoever. That would indeed get the zoning regulations adopted within the 150 days. If we do a hearing date on June 5, we can still adopt before July 23, and we will no longer have those the regulations in effect, but at least we won't have to start back at square one and have a planning commission hearing and a select board hearing in order to get them adopted. I'm willing to do either of those things, none of those things, but I think we should make a decision as to how we're going to proceed so that we can get it done. And I feel that the June 5 hearing, things may be settled out by then, but I still think with the size of that town hall, the social distancing thing would work. And I don't, unless I missed an edict from the governor, I think we're still okay under 50 people. Is that not correct, Scott? You may.
It's 10 people.
It's 10 people now?
Yeah, no gatherings more than 10 people.
So, or we might have to do the hearing via have the board there and have people come on the telephone or whatever. What would the board's pleasure be?
I mean, I think we should move it along. I don't. I would be in favor of leveraging what we're doing right now. It's not ideal, but it works. So yeah, I mean, if we can, we would have to limit if we did anything in person. We'd of course, and the 10-person limit is still in effect at that time. We'd have to adhere.
Well, if we have a 10-person limit, I think that I thought we were still at 50, and that's my error. I will admit to that. If we're at a 10-person limit, we certainly, if any planning commission members came and general public, we would be over that 10-person limit. And so I think that we would have to do it via the internet, via the phone, whatever. And that's perfectly fine with me. I think we've had a couple of the planning commission had a good hearing. We had a good hearing, and then we discussed it again at the next select board meeting. I think there's been quite a bit of discussion about it. I do think we need to move it along. If we're going to do it digitally, then I think that it would be wise just to get it over with on the 1st of May. We could have Cindy put out a notice on April 9th, and we could, I don't know when the next select board meeting would be after May. Let's see. If we did the hearing the 1st of May, that would be a Friday. Then we would meet the following Wednesday, the 6th of May, and we could adopt at that point. I would think it would be wise this time to not have the hearing during a regular board meeting and just have a hearing and be done with it.
I wouldn't do it on a Friday. Maybe the Monday or Tuesday before our regular meeting.
Well, we could do it on the 4th of May. That's a planning commission meeting date. But if we do it digitally, it won't matter.
Yeah, they don't have a lot going on for their meeting. We do it during that time slot.
Ben, you worked on these dates with my brother John. Would that fit into the requirements that we need?
It would. I guess I would just clarify. There are two time frames that are relevant here. Emily, you're discussing the 150-day period. There's also a one-year period. The 150 days runs from the date that the select board published notice of its first hearing. So that period ends on May 10th. And what happens on May 11th is that the proposed regulations are no longer provisionally effective. So since December, Karen and the zoning board have been reviewing applications under both the current regs and the new regs, which has actually been rather complicated. If the new rules are not adopted by the 10th, then Karen and the ZBA would have to go back to reviewing applications solely under the current regulations, and then flip over to the new ones when they get adopted. So that might create some confusion because which rules apply when would be toggling back and forth several times. So that would be a reason to try to get the May 10 deadline. The real deadline, though, is 1 year from the Planning Commission's hearing, and that's July 23. And what happens if on July 24, if they're not adopted, is that the process has to go back to the beginning, and the Planning Commission will have to rehear the draft before the Select Board then rehears the draft and potentially adopts it. So that's sort of the outside date by which you would avoid a whole round of new hearings. But your proposal, Emily, works to meet the 150-day deadline.
So if we were to take Scott's suggestion, have a meeting the 4th of May on a Monday, digitally. We could then adopt on Wednesday the 6th if things went well, and we would make that May 10th deadline with only a special meeting for the hearing and then a regular board meeting. How does the rest of the board feel about that?
That works for me.
That's good. That works.
Scott, you okay with that?
That's fine. One thing I would offer up, I played around with it tonight before the meeting, and it worked, but it needs some tweaking. This doesn't quite give folks, well, it could give folks an opportunity to speak as well, but we can actually, in addition to holding this meeting like we're doing tonight, we can actually live stream it too, so that people can